about the equinox method of determining the first month of the scriptural year, because the barley can be manipulated. They say, when it is Aviv. Well, Aviv comes as a result of the time of year, and it has to be maturity. How about Leviticus 23? Leviticus 23, 9, if you read that, 9 through 14, talking about the first fruits, and leading up to the real first fruits, Pentecost, it's not saying to harvest until you take a sheaf, a mature sheaf, and make a first fruit offering. Notice also the last verse. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. We are a generation to come, and we live in this part of the hemisphere. So before we start a harvest, I would take a sheaf and make a first fruit offering to Yahweh. But still, none of this is instruction on how to determine the first month of the year. We're going by the Hebrew word tikufa, or equinox, also a summer solstice. What about the equinox method? It defines the first scriptural month to begin with. After the equinox, the first new moon after the spring equinox. So-called spring equinox is that moment when the sun passes directly overhead the Earth's equator. According to the book Karaites and Byzantine by Zavi Ancori, the Karaites in Babylon, the Karaites did not use barley to determine the first month, but they used the vernal equinox. I believe that Yahweh, or they say here Yahweh, gave us a method that allowed people anywhere on the earth to keep the feasts and know the first month through all these centuries without any knowledge about barley from Israel or from Egypt, actually where the children of Israel were in Exodus 10. This method has been known and used for well over 2,500 years. It also provided a method used for centuries around the world when electricity and phones did not exist. They didn't have Facebook to contact Israel or Egypt. Was it wrong? Can we choose to use the equinox? Is it sinful? Can we choose to use the equinox instead of barley and not be in sin? Some claim, some believers even, or messianics even claim that using the equinox method is astrology, which is pagan. But observing the sun passing overhead on the equator, or the mark in the on the barn, observing the sun passing overhead the equator is astronomy. It's spelled differently than astronomy than astrology. Astronomy and astrology are two different words with different meanings. Astronomy is the proper scientific observation. It's not any sort of pagan worship there. And Yahweh tells us in Genesis 1:14 there, use these, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as moeds, or signs to mark the appointed times, the moeds, days and years. Many arguments against this method, however, the result would be that we would all keep the feasts at the same time and have unity amongst the brethren. And where do we ever find the apostles or Moses going traveling to find the Aviv, the barley? We don't find that anywhere. David didn't go looking to, you know, and begin the counting of the Omer from that time. And there are many articles about this. One is on our website, www.yahweh.name, N-A-M-E. An article called Counting to the Feast of Weeks. It was written by Apostle Terrell, who I don't agree with at 100%, but he keeps the new moon by the dark moon, or no moon at all. And he's very adamant about that. But here's some good teachings here. Who's counting correctly? And that's one of the articles there. A Shadow of Things to Come, Colossians chapter 2. Yes. And then there's not a single verse of Scripture that says directly or implies that the count to first fruits must begin during the days of unleavened bread. Most assume the wave sheaf must be offered during that festival. The book of Yahweh clearly does not mention the Passover week of unleavened bread in the requirements for finding the date of Pentecost. Show it to me. Leviticus 23 does not cover that at all. 23:11. the priest shall wave it. And some say this phrase refers to the weekly Sabbath, which falls within unleavened bread. Others say the phrase refers to the first annual Shabbat, Aviv 15. Both are wrong because the scriptures do not require the waving of the first sheaf of barley to take place within the days of unleavened bread. Nowhere does the scripture require the priest to wave the sheaf at that time. Yet men persistently insist the wave sheaf and thus the start of the count to Pentecost must take place, or first fruits, or Shavuot, must take place within the seven-day festival of Pesach, or Passover. Why do they do it? Tradition. Yeah, why do they travel all the way, halfway around the world to see the heads of barley in Israel, not Egypt, or anywhere? Why do they travel this distance? There's no tradition. There's no precedent for that. Carefully read Leviticus 23 and see for yourself. The days of unleavened bread are not mentioned with regard to wave sheaf. Neither does it say the harvest cannot start until the wave sheaf is offered. Unlearned men assume these things. Who will you believe, the traditions of men or Yahweh's word? You're not going to change because I said it or because that man said it. But after your study and after you're convicted and the Spirit open up your hearts and speak to the son of the Hebrews and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you and reap the harvest, you're going to reap the harvest when the ears are green. When you enter the land, reap the harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, the barley grain, that is. You're going to reap the harvest of barley grain and bring that first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Not some green ears or something that somebody bought in the store in downtown Jerusalem in the land. First, notice nothing here ties the sheaf of the first fruits, wave sheaf, in verse 11, to the feast of Passover. Since the sheaf is of the beginning of the harvest, the grain must be ripe and ready to reap. This refers to the beginning of the barley harvest. 2 Samuel 21:9 will give you a clue. 2 Sam 21:9. Secondly, when you reap the harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf. It says we must first reap the harvest prior to bringing the sheaf. It does not mention unleavened bread. The FUB, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Showing this offering must be taken from what has been harvested. It could not, therefore, be of unripe green ears. Got that? Michael, this is long after the time of green ears. These immutable facts of Scripture make it clear and certain the grain must be ready to harvest, and the harvest must have begun before the wave sheaf is brought to the priest. Scripture says, reap the harvest, and afterward, or then bring the sheaf of the first fruits, the beginning of your harvest, to the priest. Who can deny this clear statement shows the barley harvest must be in progress before the wave sheaf offering is brought? Oh, you could read about that. When is the harvest? It quotes from Arndt Gingrich, Gelt, the Green of Harvest. And then the Messiah verified the fact by giving the sequence of maturation of grain, first the blade, then the ear, that could only be green ears, after that the full corn in the ear. So he's quoting here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 28 through 29. So first the blade, then the ear, the green ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is ripe, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. End quote. So he shows beyond doubt earing time and harvest time are distinctly different times. Harvest is weeks after green ears. Ripe become dry or dry up and wither and so on. Anyway, there's a lot of good reference, background, footnotes. It's all authenticated, and it's actually even neat here. It's probably also on his website, but I don't feel free to give that to you today. And what a blessing it is to be at the feast. The feasts are not punishments, but they are they're in Yahweh's Torah, and they are actually privileges and a way that we can love Him more, and an opportunity to be together with Yahweh, and think about what is to come, be prepared, and taking a break, a breather, a sabbatical, a a commanded convocation, a time to get together with other people. Convocating, you can't do that by yourself. You got to do that with a few other people. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea, no more sea. And I, John, saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with man, and he will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them, and he shall be their Elohim. And then, just like Isaiah 25, Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, he that raiseth his right hand in church, with nobody looking around. No, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Yahweh, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A little of that fire and brimstone preaching there. There came unto me one of the seven angel or messengers, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Anyway, thank you very much. Shalom.